Good morning. First order of business, my Kidmo friends, you guys are dismissed. Thank you for being in here this morning. Any of you guys had the rug pulled out from under you this very week? I can relate to that. There's some good symbology out there. Did you get where he was supposed to be standing, though? Where's he supposed to be standing? He's supposed to be standing on God and God's promises. And that's what we're going to talk about in this new series this week that we're starting called In Blank We Trust. First off, guys, if you're a guest today, I'm Scott Pollard, the associate pastor here at Journey Church. Welcome. Glad to see you guys here. If you would, just give us a record of you being here by filling out on the back stool back there behind the booth. There's some comment cards and things. We'd just love to have a record of you being here. That can be your offering for the day. We don't expect you to put anything in the offering bucket, but we'd sure like to know that you're here and know your thoughts about us, or if you have any questions, just to do that. So how many of you guys are already in summer vacation mode? Yeah, and see all those empty seats right over there? Those people definitely are. Hey, in Hamilton County, if you don't take vacation between this week and the next 6 weeks or so, you don't get one because school starts in August. You guys realize that, don't you? I didn't want to say that in front of the Kidmo kids because they'll get all depressed and everything, and we'll have to be dealing with that. But this morning we're going to talk a little bit about, by the way, we are on YouVersion. If you're new to Journey Church, you can pull up YouVersion on your mobile device. It's an app that has our live sermons on there. So just search for Journey Church in Chattanooga, and our sermons are on there with the notes and the complete context of Scripture and everything like that. It's a great tool. If you haven't used that, I'd encourage you to use it. And that way also, if you're playing on Facebook on your phone like Josh is back there, it doesn't look so bad. That way you can just pretend you're on YouVersion and you're being all spiritual. But guys, we'll get started this morning talking about In Blank We Trust. Now, automatically, because in our society in America, what do we automatically think? In what do we trust? God. Yeah, that's an easy answer, done. Series is over, right? In God we trust. That's who we trust in. We say that, but sometimes I'm not sure how much we mean that with our actions. Illustration in the video there. He was ready to stand on God, and then what did he do? He kind of split his allegiance. He said, well, kind of stand like this, about 1 foot on God, 1 foot over here on, I think his was the economy or money, which we're going to talk about today. And that's a good way to get your legs pulled out from under you. You can't have split allegiances, which we're going to talk about as well. So before we even get started this morning, guys, I'd like for us to all bow our heads and let's talk to our Heavenly Father. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the springtime and the rains that we've had, God. Thank you for your blessings and how we see nature around us every Sunday. Thank you for those that made it out today, God. Praying for those that weren't able to make it today. Lots of folks on the road traveling. Give them traveling mercies, Lord. Be with them as they go on a time to relax and refresh. God, you command us to have periods of rest in our life. We pray those that are awake and can get some rest and get recharged, God, and be focused to be able to serve you better after their vacation than they were before. God, just pray that you'll be with this message this morning. The Spirit will speak through me. God, as I talk about a subject this morning, I think most of us can identify with as we talk about trusting in money and what it does to our lives. God, just thank you so much. Thank you for the gift of your Son, and thank you for this opportunity this morning. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, guys, we're going to dive right in. We've already talked a little about that we think it's in God we trust. Do we really? Well, let's look at some verses to support the fact that we should trust in God to start with. Psalms 9:10, and those who know your name put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. You ever feel like you're seeking God, but he don't want you to find him? Do you ever feel like God's maybe playing a game of hide and go seek with you? As you seek God, he's like hiding over here in this corner, over here behind this speaker, not wanting you to find him. It's not true. Usually it's something in our life that's getting between us and God is what's keeping us from seeing him. He's not hiding from us because it says plainly here, if we seek him, he's not going to forsake us. But the problem is we want to seek him with things in between us. And there's so many things that can come in between us. Anything that keeps you from walking with God is a problem in your life. It's one of the things we deal with in our Journey to Recovery program on Friday nights. Anything that keeps you from walking the walk that you should be walking as a Christian is a problem. It doesn't have to be drugs and alcohol. It doesn't have to be pornography. It doesn't have to be any of those biggies, the big three as I call them in recovery ministry. It can be anything that takes your attention off God and gets between you and the level of trust you should have for him. And there's so many things that can do that. It could be money, you know, it can be power and status, it can be relationships that get in between us and God, bad relationships that keep us from seeking him. Because sometimes we get to look into the circumstances around us and we begin to lack that trust that we should have because things aren't going the way we think they should, honestly. We think we're seeking God, God's hiding from us, and he's not doing what we expect of him. Well, oftentimes God has a different plan than we have, a better plan. It's just that we're so short-sighted, we look at the circumstances right here underfoot, and we can't see the big plan God has for us. And that keeps us from finding him sometimes when we're seeking him. Another verse here from Psalm 31:14. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. You are my God. That's something we need to internalize and focus on and make sure we do have that relationship that he is our God, my God, not someone else's God. It's very easy sometimes to relate to God in a very non-personal way, that he's this big being out there that you really can't know about. You can't figure him out. And so I don't really have a personal relationship with him. He's just this deity out there that kind of keeps things running. And it has nothing to do with me. And there's nothing to be further from the truth. It's the reason God sent his very own son, Jesus Christ, to be our personal lifeline, so to speak, with the Heavenly Father. That he's our advocate. He tells the Heavenly Father what's going on. He tells us what we don't even have to utter what we need. If we can't even find the words to tell God what's going on, he knows when we're in communion with him. And like I said, oftentimes there's things in our lives that keep us from being there. Because we say we trust in God, but do we really? And that's the reason I really like that video that we started out with. That's so obvious of what we run through life. We run through life trying to trust in everything that gives us comfort. You know, we run over here and we think, gosh, my bank account will give me comfort. That I'll trust in that for a while. I've got enough money right now. I can make, you know, from week to week. This is wonderful. I'll trust in my bank account. What happens? The economy goes south and you lose your job. Boom. It's pulled right out from under you. You know, I think I'll trust in this relationship. You know, this is really great. And then somehow that relationship goes astray. And you feel lost and alone. And you feel like nobody understands you. Boom. Rug's pulled out from under you because that relationship's gone. There's so many things like that that we try and compensate for in life by not truly trusting in God. The Bible tells us in Psalm 27 that this happened. It says that some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. That was talking about, that was a sign of wealth and power in the time that those verses were written, was how many chariots you had, how many horses you had. That was a symbol of power in those nations. You know, what are some things today that we recognize as being powerful? I think one of the number one things, gosh, unfortunately in America, probably fame is one of the things that we think brings you more power than anything, isn't it? I mean, really, there are people in the United States that are famous for what? Being famous. I don't know how you get that gig. I don't know how it starts out. It usually starts out with a video on YouTube that nobody should probably have ever seen, you know? But you can be famous just for being famous. And that's one of the things that we rank is a high thing that, wow, they're famous, they're popular. All the tabloids and blogs and Twitter feeds, everybody's talking about them, they're famous. And then with that fame comes what? Fortune. You get money from being famous. So you can do something. This is amazing. This is the only place in the world I know that you can do something really stupid, get on the internet for it, and it make you rich. I mean, you know, I should be a billionaire if that's true. How about y'all? I mean, half of y'all have screwed up by now. You think you should be a billionaire if it all you on YouTube, you know. It's hilarious to see the things that we rate as important and what we trust so much in. You know, one of the big things that we trust in is money. How many of y'all do you trust in your bank account? Well, some of you are sitting here thinking right now, no, I don't, because there's nothing in there. Matter of fact, I owe before my next paycheck, and I'm just hoping that the two meet somewhere in the middle and cover each other. That's a tough place to be. But some of us that have been there know how that is, paycheck to paycheck. Most all of us live there to some extent. We try and put some savings back, whatever. We try to be good stewards of what God's given us, but we get caught up in this chase of wealth sometimes. One of the things is, if you've ever been there, if you've ever been worried about going from paycheck to paycheck, meeting your bills, keeping your home, keeping your cars, whatever it may be, if you can get out of that situation, you will do darn near anything to not get back in it. Am I right? because you know how uncomfortable that situation is. Well, in that situation there, you were probably relying on God much more than you are when you're blessed with financial and material things. When you were over here and you were struggling, you were probably closer to God because you were dependent on him, saying, God, we're not going to be able to make this. This is not going to happen, God. I need your help. I'm trusting in you. But when we get blessed with material goods, with finances and things like that, we begin to trust in them to give us comfort and to take care of us. Those of you that work out in the corporate world, and if you listen to anything on the radio, what's the most important thing you can do is plan for your retirement, is it not? Your 401k, you got to get that thing right now. We have our wonderful newlyweds here that were singing for us today, which, by the way, guys, you get better and better. Richard, I'm impressed you can actually sing. This is awesome. Give them a hand. Yeah, absolutely. We are so glad they're a part of our family, that they've joined together as a family now. But one of the things I know that they've planned is they've bought their first home, and it was a stressful situation. We talked about it. The responsibilities, the things that come on you when you get burdened to death, they've talked about that. And I can tell you, from knowing these two personally, they're very wise planners. And there's nothing wrong with wise planning, but you can't trust in that. You know, how many of you today that are, let's say, 45 and above, are trusting Social Security to provide your way when you retire? Boy, see, I didn't. But you're still paying it. Does that seem fair to you? I'm not sure about this. I'm paying into this thing that is good for me, they say, but you may never see it. And we may have to take away your benefits and make you pay more. That doesn't sound like a good deal. But we, in the back of our minds, are trusting in that, well, if everything else fails, when I get to be that age, at least I'll have my Social Security. You may have nothing. You know, the economy, I think, has taught us in the past few years, if you've been a good steward and been putting money back in a 401k or a retirement savings account of some sort, what happened to it? You saw that thing with the rug? That's what happened to everybody's 401k. It went and shoop, right out from under it. It went nosedived. Now, in the long run, it may come back. It may be good. But I'm just saying, we can't trust in those things. We can't trust in our bank account because it puts the trust in the wrong place. It takes our focus off of God and living life day to day. I often wonder how much different my life, your lives, all of our lives would be if we lived in a different country where we had to rely on God more to provide our basic needs. I mean, everybody here's got clothes on this morning, thank God. Everybody's got clothing. Most of you had transportation to get here. Most of you had something to eat this morning. That's better off than a whole lot of the rest of the world. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with God blessing us like that. I'm just saying that sometimes it makes it a little harder to focus on him and what he's really doing because we are so blessed. We don't realize what it's like to struggle sometimes because we are so blessed. We think we're struggling because, well, I couldn't go to Waffle House this morning. I had to eat a Little Debbie. I couldn't afford the $8 breakfast at Waffle House. You know, I'm poor. You know, I can't afford to eat out like that anymore. Gosh, we're going to have to go home and have sandwiches for lunch because we can't eat out for lunch and dinner. All our neighbors are able to do that, and they drive Mercedes, and they've got big cars and stuff. Man, I don't know what this is like. This just really isn't fair. You know, God, you're not taking care of me. Is that not where we get to when we start trusting our finances and start looking around, comparing ourselves to others, trusting in our bank accounts, trusting in our wealth, all those things that are giving us comfort, we get in trouble because of it. That has been the ruin of many marriages, many relationships, and the Bible gives us clear warnings about putting our faith in money because money will cause us to lose faith in God. Okay? We start chasing after that money. We start wanting that. We start never having enough of it. We're always trying to accumulate that wealth to make a buffer so we don't have to rely on God. Is that not true? What's the purpose of savings and everything else? It's to put a buffer there, and the Bible teaches it's wise to count the cost of projects before you start them. It's wise to invest things. The Bible doesn't have any prohibitions against that. But when you start trusting in that, you've got a problem. And I think that's a hard thing for us to distinguish in our culture because such value is placed on planning for the future, you know, in your wealth, in your personal wealth, how well you manage that. Because it takes it in our country to get by. If not, you wind up homeless living in a box downtown somewhere. And there are lots of people, because of the way they relate in life, are living in a box downtown or under a bridge because they couldn't get this money thing figured out. They couldn't figure out how to have impulse control. They couldn't figure out, or they got into substance abuse because they couldn't deal with their problems. And all those things merged together, it pulled the rug out from under them. All of a sudden, they can't get that money. They can't get to it, or they're spending more than's coming in. That's a huge problem with us. The number one thing, if we get tied on money, most of us, the first thing we look, instead of saying, where can I spend less, is where can I make more? Well, my wife definitely needs to get a better job. If she's not working outside the home, she at least needs to get a job. And if she's got a job, she needs a better job. And I may need a second job. Well, shoot, we can all work on saying, heck, let's go give plasma. What can we do to get out of this situation? Yeah, none of us look at cutting expenses. We look at gaining more wealth to cover our debt. And again, what does that do? That makes us start putting our faith in our bank account because we've got to have that constant flow into the bank account to hedge against disaster. Man, it'll kill you if you start relying on finances to give you pleasure in life. Man, you are living on a dangerous, dangerous course because it is so volatile. There's so many things that can happen. And there's some clear warnings, and let's talk about those from 1 Timothy chapter 6. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. So, money's the root of all evil, right? No, that's not what that says. The love of money, it's the heart. It's where our faith's at. It's that misplaced trust in something instead of God that causes the problems in our lives. Our faith should be in God, not in money. We shouldn't be trying to do that. And I put this in today. I don't usually use the Message paraphrase, but I love the way it put these verses. The Message is not necessarily a version of the Bible, but it's a writer's interpretation in modern day language of what it's saying. And I love this from 1 Timothy. It says, but if it's only money these leaders are after, they'll self-destruct in no time. Lust for money brings trouble and nothing but trouble. Going down that path, some lose their footing in the faith completely and live to regret it bitterly ever after. That's a pretty strong warning about what happens when you get tied up and your main goal in life is to accumulate wealth and to make sure you keep it, isn't it? You'll self-destruct. The lust for money, that desiring to have something you don't have, brings trouble and nothing but trouble. And going down that path, you lose your faith completely. And you regret it bitterly ever after. Because you're trying to fill a hole in your life that can't be filled with money. That hole is filled with trusting God entirely with what's going on in your life. And instead, we try and trust money to do that. And when we do that, we get things out of whack in our life. We're trusting in something we shouldn't. And then we start, it's a never ending thing. You know, this whole thing of trust. Sean, pull our graphic up there. I think we have a tighter shot now. So it's a $1 bill. What does it say right up there at the top of it? Is that not ironic? Of all things for it to be on our currency is stamped in God we trust, when in reality it should stay in this we trust, in the almighty dollar we trust, in the economy, all those things, that's what we trust in. What would you do if the economy failed? Have you ever thought about that? Could happen. Just because we live in America doesn't mean that we're completely safe. We say we're a Christian nation, but when we put our trust in that, God can yank that dollar bill right out from under your feet. He could yank it out from under our nation's feet. Then what would you do? Is your faith really enough to make you happy, to give you joy, to keep you directed in life? Or would you just be totally lost and not know what to do? Would your family not be enough for you then? Would your relationships not be enough for you? Would your love of God and the love of His Son, would those not be enough for you if you didn't have wealth and things with you? Here's another reason we so much accumulate wealth from Proverbs. I love Proverbs. There's so many good things out there that are practical. It says, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is a slave of the lender. I mean, he'll give an amen to that one. Yeah, I mean, we are so in debt as a nation and as a people, as a community, as a church at Journey. I understand, you know, this is not a sermon about tithing and giving to Journey or anything like that. I know some of you are scraping by because you don't have money to give to Journey because it's all going somewhere else. That check is being torn in so many different directions by so many different people. You don't know what to do. You don't have money to give. But you're so afraid to be poor. You want to accumulate that money. We don't want to be ruled over by anyone, so we try to accumulate money in order to be independent. Because we know in our society, the one with the most stuff rules over the rest of us, don't they? You know, people that are wealthy write the rules, do they not? People in our society that are wealthy write the rules. And we don't like that. I'm speaking to guys here. Guys, do you like anybody telling you what to do and being your boss? Heck no. I don't like that. I don't want somebody telling me what to do. I especially don't want some jerk telling me about my money situation. Like, no, dude, I earned this money. You don't be telling me what to do with it. I'll do with this money as I please. This is my money. And that's where we get into trouble. We want that money because we want the power that comes along with money. We see that in celebrities all the time, don't we? Again, back to the fame of being famous. What happens the immediate when a star gets pulled over by the police, which seems to happen on a regular basis, which I always like to watch. What happens when the police pull them over? What's the first thing they say? Don't you know who I am? Exactly. Don't you? Yes, I've seen you on TV and things. You're a wreck is who you are. Your name's Lindsay Lohan. No, I didn't say that. Of course I know who you are. But by knowing who I am and knowing the wealth I have, and with that wealth comes power, what I'm saying is, if you know what's good for you, don't mess with me because I have wealth and power. And you don't want to be underneath that because I will oppress you given the chance. And we're oppressed all the time by that. Our car payments, house payments, second mortgage payments, credit card payments, payday loan payments, all those things that we get into while we're trying to accumulate wealth, we become slaves to that. We become working every day to pay those debts. Do we not? I'm not sure how we're much different than in times of the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, was that slavery was a prevalent culture trait there. I'm not sure how much better we are off than those people that were slaves. They were treated poorly. But I don't know that they had as much indebtedness as we do. And we try and everything in the world we can then, once we get to the point that we can no longer dig out of the hole that we're in, then we don't know what to do. Then we start to panic, and that's when the money becomes to rule us. We'll do anything we can to keep what we've got to do that. Then it begins to strain relationships. You know, this one you can see coming as couples. When money begins to rule your family, when that debt becomes such a load on you and so much emotional expense in your relationship is spent towards those debts and figuring that out. What happens is couples grow apart and they become divorced over money because they don't have enough for their lifestyle or whatever it may be. And then one spouse starts blaming the other. Well, it's your fault. You don't have a good enough job or you spend too much. It's your fault. No, as a family, you should be working together and also realizing God supplies all that money to you anyway. It's not your money to start with and you should budget accordingly. It's not yours to play with and spend or whatever. It's yours to use wisely as God gives it to you. But what happens is couples begin to go astray. Guys, another one for you. If you want to have a decent, comfortable lifestyle, be able to have a few things in life, and worry less about money, the number one advice I can give you is never get divorced. I mean, seriously, if you do that, you will have to double or triple your income to have a normal level of life. That's the fact. And I'm not saying that that's not right, that you shouldn't have to take responsibility for your actions in a relationship. But I'm just telling you right now, if you think, I'll just get rid of her and this will solve my problems, dude, you're stupid. That don't work that way. You have children together. Let's consider that you have a 2-year-old, okay? Well, I will just divorce. I will pay them money and I will never have to deal with them again. Yeah, right. You have a child together. You've got 16 years of dealing together. You think it's hard being married and dealing together? Well, there's a little bit, you know, of emotional buffer there and things that, you know, anything goes when you're divorced then. You understand? All the boundaries are erased. Anything goes. When you go to court, you know what? Those lawyers, they sit down and compassionately console each person in the divorce, and they say, you know what? We really need to be doing what's right for the children, regardless of where the wealth's distributed or whatever. We need to make sure these kids are taken care of. We need to make sure their futures are guaranteed, and we need to make sure that you two cooperate and do this. How many of y'all believe that? You're crazy if you believe that. What happens is you go into court and we see who can get the most for which side. That's the way it works. This lawyer tries to get the most for this client. This lawyer tries to get the most for this client because they're needing to accumulate and build wealth so they can live the rest of their lives. I can't be paying you this kind of money. Well, I can't live without your money. You should have thought of that before you married me. And we get into this big fight and battle, and I've seen countless couples go this. And what happens is their lawyer bills start down here and they escalate. And they get up to here, to where neither one can pay them. You know what they do? They either reconcile and don't get divorced after spending tens of thousands of dollars, or they just separate and never get divorced because they can't afford the process anymore. That's what's financially ruining our communities. 50% of our communities are divorced. That means 50% are probably in dire financial straits, unless there was some kind of agreement that they just split up things equitably, you know. They're never going to recover from those mistakes. They're going to live the rest of their lives in bondage to that debt. Look what this says in Ecclesiastes. Those who love money will never have enough. How meaningless to think that wealth brings true happiness. The more you have, the more people come to help you spend it. So what good is wealth except perhaps to watch it slip through your fingers? People who work hard sleep well, and whether they eat little or much. But the rich seldom get a good night's sleep. So is being wealthy all that great anyway? The rich don't sleep well at night. You know why? Because they're worried about who the next person is that wants to come and get a piece of their pie. People are going to come help you spend it. If you were to win the Tennessee lottery or the Powerball and you were an instant millionaire, would you be popular? Oh, yeah, everybody. Raymond, I want you to go play that, and I'm going to be your very, very bestest friend. We've been through a lot together, Raymond and I hope he remembers me when he does this. Hey, that's the way it works, isn't it? Everybody will be your friend then, coming to help you what? Spend your money. You know, Raymond, if you're a millionaire, I expect you to come. I don't want to have to keep paying rent. I expect you to buy a building for us because I don't want to trust in God to provide us a place to meet. That's so old-fashioned and all that, and the economy's so turbulent, and I don't know if we'll have enough offering today to meet the bills. You know, we never know what's going on. We don't know how people are going to get. It'd be so much more comfortable if somebody just win the lottery and pay it off, wouldn't it? You think that's what God wants for us? No. When we become wealthy, it just slips through our fingers. Have you seen lottery winners go bankrupt? That's hilarious. They go bankrupt in a few years. I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't imagine that. But I'm a person who budgets and knows what we spend. And, you know, I can't imagine spending those levels. Now, I can't imagine me going out and buying a new Corvette with those winnings. I'll not lie to you. If I win, of course, you got to play the lottery to win, which may be a problem for me because I hate wasting money. If I don't win, I get all mad. I wasted a dollar. That would have bought four of those kangaroo ices out of my cup, you know. That's four ices that I just wasted on a lottery ticket that I'm not going to win anyway. But if I was to win, you would see a nice new vet sitting right out here. I'll guarantee you. Now, I might be frugal with the rest of my money, but why? Because I deserve that, right? I mean, I've budgeted all these years. I need to go wild with a little bit of that money. That's what happens to a lot of us. When we get a little bit of money, we go wild with it. Young couples get their first job. If they don't budget correctly, they go wild with the money. They wind up in a house they can't afford because what they do, and I've even seen churches do this, we base our budget on projected future growth. Anybody do that? I know it's going to really be tight on this house payment right now. And we really want that new car. We want that, you know, we need that new minivan for the family. We really need that because we're outgrowing our car. And I know we don't really make enough now to afford it, but I'm sure over the next 5 years of payments, I'll get enough of a raise that it won't be that big a deal to us. Anybody ever had that thought process? It's very easy to get into that. Because again, we're trusting in our bank accounts to do it. But here's one of the real problems that happens from Matthew chapter 6. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And that's the reason those verses that we started out with warned us about it taking away from our very faith. If we begin to trust in money, we begin to get mad at God. If somehow, have you ever thought that God is the one that orchestrated the circumstances that took some of your money away from you? You know, we've talked about that before. As a culture, we see God and Santa Claus as pretty much the same being, except one wears a red suit and one wears a white robe, right? They both got, you know, they're both got majestic white hair. They're very passionate. You know, God's actually like a grandfather that sits up there just, you know, waiting for the kids to come and ask, you know, hey, I need something, and he just waits to give it to us, right? Isn't that our perception? Well, yeah, God's just sitting up there. Well, I wonder what Scott's going to need today. I hope I can, I own everything. I know I can provide it for him. I'm just waiting for him to come and ask. That's not who God is. Even Santa doesn't do that good. I mean, come on, folks. We have got a false perception of what God has provided. He talks about providing for our needs, not our wants. And there's nothing wrong with wanting things. There's nothing wrong with hard work. There's nothing wrong with those valuing those things. It's when those things get between us and God that we've got a problem. We've begun to serve another master. Just like I was talking about a minute ago. We've begun to live life to accumulate wealth to keep us going. It's like the hamster on the wheel. We got to keep the wheel going. We got to keep going. We got to keep going. We got to keep going. And all of a sudden, somebody throws something in here and it speeds the wheel up because we got another bill to pay. And it speeds up and it speeds up, you know. We don't account for those things very well as a society. We account for the right here and now and not the future. And then we just get caught in this trap. And it is a trap, I believe. I believe Satan is, he's a master of deceit. He's a master of lies. You know, he will convince you that you can afford things that you cannot afford to keep you away from God. How about that? Have you ever thought about that? That Satan will actually tempt you to go into debt for things you can't afford because he knows that you will soon have to put your faith in money and a job instead of God because you want to keep those things that you've acquired. And it will kill you. It will kill you as a couple. It will kill you as a family. You will get to the point that you, every day, you live to get up and see how much money you can make to try and get you out of the problem you're in. And that's a horrible thing to get to that point, to where you're just living every day to make money. That's your only purpose in life. Does that sound like something God would want for any of us? I don't think it does. I don't think God wants us to be serving two masters. Can't do it. It's impossible. Your allegiance is split. Another verse concerning that says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, your heart's going to be. If all my treasure is in my material goods and trying to keep those, keep all that together, keep everybody in the family happy, that's where my heart is. I'm trying to do that. I'm not worried about what God thinks about the situation. I may even get, you know, we even get to the point of doing things that are unethical to keep that wealth and to keep that wheel turning in our lives. We get to the point, just cheating on my taxes a little bit, and I doubt that they're not going to, I'm going to audit somebody a little like me. I'm not going to worry about all that. You know, hey, I'd like to give something to the church, but yeah, they've got enough. I'm sure somebody else has got more money than me. They can give. You know, I just don't have the money to give. God won't care. You know, he doesn't care where my heart's at on that. He knows it's just money, and he can take care of the church. We start fooling ourselves. And when we do that, we get in a very dangerous place where we will do things that we normally wouldn't do to survive. I mean, it's horrible. It is an addiction to money. It's an addiction to wealth. It's an addiction to lifestyle. It's no different than being addicted to drugs or alcohol. What will happen to us is we will do anything to feed that addiction and keep it going, and that becomes our God. Our God is our lifestyle now. Our God is our vacation. Our God is our new car. Our God is a nice house in a newer neighborhood. We begin to let all those things be our God, and when we do, it separates us from our true Heavenly Father. They get in between us. And when they're in between us, we can't see Him when we seek Him. And it happens to us all the time. We see it. We see, you know, this is how crazy it's gotten in our culture. We have shows about people coming and repoing your car. I mean, you know, it's got to be a trend. If you got a show about the repo guys at Lizard Lick Towing, which, you know, I think it's based in Ray County, by the way. I believe I've seen some of those folks up there shoot at you when you come to get their car. Hey, seriously, when it gets to that point that it is such a cultural phenomenon that there's a reality TV show about it, we've gone too far as a culture in what we've done. You know, and I know there's other problems that lie behind that, loss of jobs and things like that. And sometimes you may be put back to that. You may be put back to the point of, okay, I've dug a hole I cannot get out of. It doesn't relieve you of your debt. You still need to pay that because that honors God. But you may have to reorganize in bankruptcy or something to get out of that. And people say, well, if I could just do that, I would learn my lesson. Now, really, you think that you're going to go bankrupt and it's going to make life easier on you? If you can't live within a budget now, you're not going to live in a budget then. It's impulse control. It's having the need, the desire, the want to have things above what God wants you to have. It's what you're struggling with. It's not the money you're struggling with. It's your impulse. It's your own desires. It's where your heart's at. It's where your treasure's at. You know, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being blessed by God. I feel like I am very blessed by God by what He provides for me and my family, and I thank Him for that. You know, I don't know what my reaction would be if all that goes away. It's easy to say when you're blessed. But I also don't want to become relying on that, and that's what life's about. Life is about us living as Christians and sharing our faith and sharing the love that Jesus has for us with those around us. That's why this church exists. It's a place for us to come to learn principles about our life so that we can go back out in the week and share that love with our community. That's what it's about. So we can support those that don't know Christ. So that we can share those things. Do you think you can go out and share those things if you're God's money? Heck no. You can't go out and share those things. You're too worried about scraping by and getting your next dollar. You're too worried about where that payment's going to come from that's due next week. You're so worried about those things, the last thing on your mind is sharing Christ with somebody else. And I'm not talking about the old school going around knocking on various doors and saying, are you saved or not? I'm talking about the people you rub shoulders with every day that are suffering in despair because they don't know Jesus Christ. And you have no ability to be a witness to them because your life is the train wreck itself. You've gotten to the point that you are so sucked in by what you're in debt to that you only worry about that on a day-to-day basis. You don't even think, I don't have time to even think about God. Or life's going so good that I don't think about God because I don't need Him right now. I've got my bank account. I've got my 401k. I've got good running cars. My house is fairly new and in good repair. I don't need to worry about God because I took care of all those things myself. We're very self-sufficient. That's another topic we will probably deal with in this series, in trusting in self. But in trusting in money, it drives a wedge between us and the Father. Final verse here. Whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. I was thinking about that out this morning, how green and crisp everything looks and how flourishing even the weeds are in my yard at this time of year. Everything is growing and green and it's flourishing. If we're righteous, we'll flourish like that. But if we are trusting in our riches, we will fall. One way or another, we will fall. I mean, we've seen wealthy people here in town that have lost everything. Just because you have a high level doesn't mean that you cannot lose it to a low level. Again, we can't trust in those things. We need to be trusting in God who makes us righteous. Being made righteous, being made right with God, being on God's side, putting Him first, and having the desire not only to put Him first in our lives, but to show that to others in their lives and let them know this is a way to live and to get out of the burdens that you have. You don't have to be under debt. You don't have to be under this load of all this. you can work your way out of this. You need to trust in God to provide for you. Now, that doesn't mean trusting God to provide means you go out and means I know I can't afford a new Corvette that I go out and get one and say, well, I have faith that God will provide. That's just dumb. I mean, come on. God doesn't want to be. You can't play the game with God, okay? We can play that game with each other. We can play that game with the bank sometimes. God don't play games like that. You can't put God on the spot and expect him to get you out of a bind by saying, well, I put my faith in God. God, if you don't, I said Sunday morning that I was going out on faith that God would provide that new car for me. God, if you don't provide it, you're going to look bad, not me. It's what we do to God. We try and put him in this little box and tell him, God, you have to behave like this because you'll look bad. God doesn't need our PR, folks. God is a holy, righteous God that we need to live right with on a daily basis. And that's what this last point is talking about, is truly being righteous and truly trusting in God instead of ourselves, instead of our bank accounts, instead of our finances, that he will provide for us. And you know what? When you trust him, you might happen like Solomon in Scripture. He was blessed with wealth. Have you ever thought of that? That if you would quit trusting in yourself and in your bank account and in your own wealth, and you trusted in God, he might just bless you to the point that you have more material things than you do now. I'm not saying he will or won't. It's God's will. I don't know for your life what he has. But he does say he'll bless us and that he has good plans for us and plans that are not for us to come to destruction. So we know he's going to take care of us. And if we are trusting him, we will be joyful in whatever situation we're in. I saw a neat cartoon this morning on Facebook. I wish I'd had time to get it pulled up. It shows these little guys. They're probably supposed to be African by their dress. They're sitting there with just shorts on, like, or whatever, no shirts. And they're looking off at this beautiful horizon. And it says, those kids in America, man, it's awful. They're sentenced to sit in school 8 hours a day, every day. They just get a little bit of time off during the summer. If they don't pay attention, they get pumped full of drugs. They have to eat all this food and stuff that's contaminated with hormones and chemicals and all this. And the other little boy standing next to him says, man, that's awful. We should take up a donation and send it to them. It's perspective. It's all about perspective, guys. It's all about trusting God. That perspective there is truly trusting and knowing that I may not have shoes on my feet or a shirt on my back, but God is blessing me. That's where we need to get to as a people, as a nation, as a community, and as a church, is being content with what we have. Nothing wrong with working hard, but being content in what God gives us and waiting on him to provide instead of trying to get in front of God and get things for ourselves and putting us out there to where we get under the debt of serving money instead of the Lord. And that's what I want to leave you with this morning as we pray. Father, I thank you. Thank you this morning for allowing me to speak to this group. Lord, money is a difficult topic sometimes. We don't want it to sound like I'm up here preaching just so Journey Church, we'll get a good offering here in a minute, that people will better manage their money. But God, I see it on a daily basis. People that are so indebted to money and culture and lifestyle, God, that they can't do what they need to do, Lord. And I just pray that you'll be with those folks. I know there's some here probably today. Lord, even myself, Lord, remind me how to be a wise budgeter and to trust in you, God, but to also be wise. And Lord, I just thank you so much that you do provide for us here and the awesome blessings you've given us, God. But never let those come between us, God. I just pray that you'll help me to have a heart like that and help these folks here at Journey this morning to have that heart. Lord, if there's one here that doesn't follow you, that doesn't know that you gave your son as a Savior, that Jesus Christ came, walked on this earth as a man, was crucified in our place because of the debt that we owed, the sins that we couldn't pay for in our lives, and then he rose again on the third day. Lord, if there's someone that hasn't trusted in that fact, Lord, I pray this morning they'll put their trust in Christ, Lord. Just pray all these things as Richard and Wendy close for us, that you will bless us, provide for us in all times. In Jesus' name I pray.